That's what I produce on.
Yeah.
It sucks. I mean, it really sucks.
On that note, welcome to a special edition of Name Redacted Podcast. I'm Colin Norris.
I'm Chris Nielsen.
And with us today is Ghost.
Or Ghost.
Or Ghost.
it's definitely Ghost.
Well, there's no line over the O, so it's kind of hard to...
There is in the logo. It's kind of under it, but it's just...
Same idea?
I think.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for taking some time to sit down with us. We know you got a show here in about... Starts in 20 minutes, the opener does.
Yeah, I think I go on at like 11, so we got,
yeah,
we got time. Yeah,
that's nice. Yeah.
Awesome.
We got time to ruin the set with booze.
That's awesome.
So yeah, like what's been this, how's this North American tour been? Like,
it's been cool. I was surprised in Orlando. The turnout was better than I thought it would be. Last night was a little strange. It was raining in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was like...
So you played in Orlando on Monday?
Yes.
Okay, that's really good. We get turned out on Monday.
Yeah, no, it was, I think, 150, 200 in Orlando showed up. So
yeah,
it was
nice.
Actually pretty good, and I crashed the fucking table and close to the end of the set.
Yeah.
And everything fell.
Oh, no.
And everybody's being shy before that, but after that, they were like, fuck.
Yeah,
we're
all...
I mean, yeah, how rowdy does it get?
I would say so far... Every American show I've played, even with Perturbator, with like 600 people, the biggest show we played.
Yeah.
It's pretty shy.
Yeah.
Like, people are there, they're into it, but they're not really like wanting to let go. And I think it may be like the mix of like metalheads with the electronic scene.
Right.
It's kind of like people are
plus
like,
factoring in the fact that a lot of people probably know you from the internet too, like with. Because that's how I think we both found out.
Yep.
Was through the internet and stuff. So you got
people
that kind of... When I found out about the genre itself, my entry point was Laserhawk and John Carpenter, of course. But, you know, and then digging more into the scene, and then I discovered pretty much the Blood music lineup and just fell in love. I was like, okay, this is not just a one-off. This is a fucking... This is a real scene. And I when I get into something, I dive into it. So
Cool.
So, I mean, compared to Europe, like, does Europe go off?
Europe goes off. It depends, to be honest. Like, if you're east, like, Russia or, like, Minsk, like, those places are fucking nuts. Because if you ever get to go there, you'll see that, like, on the streets, people are oppressed as fuck. And you can see it in their face. Nobody's laughing. You know, people here.
Yeah.
You can see people having fun at a cafe or whatever the fuck. It doesn't happen there. So, at the shows... They like let loose. Like a fan of mine got arrested for wearing one of my t-shirts in fucking St. Petersburg.
Oh, wow.
Fuck.
You can't be satanic. It's illegal to be gay.
I know it's illegal to be gay, but
what
like.
The fuck?
That's metal as fuck, though.
It makes Trump look. I don't know, never mind.
Yeah. He still sucks. the Cheeto in chief.
Jesus.
That's a whole thing. And I think what's going on now, subversive music is really gonna. Start to really make a rise, because I mean, I've watched the scene. Some people call it synthwave, some people call it retro synth. I don't fucking know.
I don't think it matters.
I don't think it matters.
Fair.
But I've watched the scene grow steadily and surely over the last 5 years or so.
Yeah.
And I'm stoked because you know a lot of people are aping off of the aesthetic and the sound. If you listen to The Weeknd's new album, you can hear plenty of influence.
Totally, and what was that fucking, who's that dude that did that? I'm a motherfucking star boy. What's that dude's name?
That's The Weeknd.
That's The Weeknd.
Yeah.
Look at me, I'm a fucking, a bumbling ass.
It's okay, we're recording this podcast on an SM58 plugged into one Tascam, so.
It looks really pro.
We're a bumbling.
That's good.
We're bumbling sacks of shit, too.
PBR like any good hipster would.
Oh, absolutely. Hipster trash.
Yeah, man. I gotta get that shot in the PBR when I go back down there.
Absolutely.
I
mean,
but Williams.
I feel you on the whole satanic vibe. Being it's still especially subversive here in the South.
For sure, yeah.
So because I've got a sigil of Baphomet tattooed
real
big on the back of my leg, and I get unique Jesus all the time.
That's definitely obvious. I've said it before, but it is a response to growing up in the South. Like, I don't think, you know, the guys from France or anywhere else in the world actually understand how the church in the South is kind of fucking ridiculous. Like,
yeah.
they control a lot of things. They, yeah. A lot of people fucking believe that shit. They pay a lot of money to it, and then, you know, there's the. I'm not anti fucking religion, I guess, except that I think religion makes fools out of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you want to do it and you want to be cool about it, I don't give a shit. But I think people in the South aren't cool about it, which is why I'm like...
control tactic.
This is... Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's why I'm like, here's the most offensive shit that I can do from here. You know, it's not offensive in the metal community to fucking have an upside down cross, but it is in the South in general. Yeah.
So, where did you grow up, if you don't mind me asking?
I grew up in Longview, Texas, which is like...
holy shit.
So you were in the heart of all of it.
Yeah. Yeah, in the belt buckle of Jesus' asshole.
Yeah, no shit, man. So what drove you to... did you start with metal and just sort of go from there?
Yeah, I think actually it was like... I think the first band that I really liked that I wanted to fucking be was like Nirvana.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty cliche, but I was like 10 when that shit was going on.
Yeah,
so
sure. Yeah.
It was a big fucking deal for me. And then, you know, he killed himself, and that was like, or, you know, maybe Courtney, I don't know. I'm pretty sure he killed himself.
I'm pretty sure he killed himself.
And it was like a big, that was like the first, I felt betrayed. It was weird. But like, that was the first real fucking entry into music, like that I was actually passionate about. Like, I cared. You know, my dad had tried to get me to play guitar for years.
And right.
He's not a musician or anything, but it was just an idea he wanted me to play, and I was like, no. And then I heard Nirvana, and I was like, yeah, I want to fucking play that
shit. I
want to
do that, yeah.
And then, you
first
know.
First song I ever learned was a Nirvana song.
Yeah.
I learned Come As You Are.
Yeah.
It's a great fucking song. Yeah. It's fucking easy as shit. Just
three chords.
But it's perfect. It's
three
good.
Chords until the chorus, catchy and then power chords.
So did you start out as a guitarist?
Yeah. The first instrument I ever played was definitely guitar. Well, that's not true. My grandmother had a piano, which I own now. So, like, for years, any kind of family function, like Thanksgiving or whatever, we'd go over there.
Play the piano for us.
Well, no. I would just do it. I don't think they liked what I was doing or wanted to hear it. But, yeah, I was, like, pounding away at it.
Yeah.
You know, I remember, like, thinking I was doing some really good shit, but I'm pretty sure it was, like, god-awful.
Yeah, I think all of, like, if you grew up around in the South, your grandmother had a piano. My great-grandmother had one, and I did the same thing.
Like, which is fucked up, because it's like, obviously the South is pretty close-minded, but then it's like, but we got to have this piano.
We got to have
this art.
Well, that's the acceptable instrument, though, right?
It's for the circle meeting on Mondays, so they can sing choir hymns and practice for Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, because I remember when I was a kid...
And I'm not just making that up. That fucking happened.
I
saw it.
I grew up in church, and I remember we went to, like, a Blue Jeans drum set church.
Oh,
and, like,
shit.
The drum set was always, like, the distinction. You know, like, oh, man, these guys have guitars.
We're progressive. We got
a
drum set.
You guys fucking worship.
Yeah. Moving around.
See, I grew up in a Methodist church.
About to fall over.
We only the Methodists only go to church for cakewalks and... something to do before football starts.
Yeah.
Like, literally. That's pretty true.
That's literally.
Methodists are like, we're religious, but, you know, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah. Just don't care. Just get done by 12 o'clock, because we got a 20-minute car ride home. Kickoff's at 1. And so you started with guitar and piano.
Yeah.
And then.
Because you do keys now, right? That's your synth instrument?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's what I'll be playing live tonight.
Okay, when did you start taking keys more seriously? Or was it kind of a natural progression from having played the piano?
No, actually, it was like, you know, I played metal for years. I played in a bunch of doom bands, grind bands, hardcore bands. And when I started Ghost, it was like really out of kind of necessity. I was like done with playing with people.
Mm-hmm.
Tired of leaving the house, tired of all the arguments, all the fucking drama. I was like, you know what, I'll just do some bullshit on my laptop.
Yeah.
I mean... you know, people liked it, and then I had to actually like learn.
Yeah,
to
so you started writing with like the pencil tool, or kind of like just cut.
Well,
I
produce in FL Studio, so the piano rolls fucking powerful shit in that program. So one of the best, I think. And so, you know, I started writing songs like that first, and then I had to learn how to play them. And then as things got more complicated, I started working live keys while I was recording.
Yeah,
so.
Awesome. So where did the inspiration come to make this sort of this dark sort of very very much so 80s stuff? Was it because if you're like me, I grew up on horror movies, and a lot of those were like those kind of key synth sounds
Yeah,
I mean, the soundtrack of my
life. It was all that. It was all, yeah, all the shit in the 80s. It was all synth based, which only because it was cheap.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Because they discovered MIDI and.
Well, that and they didn't have to fucking, you know, like.
You could do a full arrangement with one person.
Exactly. You didn't have to hire a fucking orchestra anymore, or you know, a fucking string quartet, whatever. You could just, you know, fucking buy a keyboard, record it, just like Halloween being one of the most recognizable soundtracks ever.
Yep.
Is stupidly simple.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just he did that out of necessity, I think. Like, I think he's quoted on that, like, basically
he had to save money.
Yeah, he had to save money, and there was this new instrument.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Yeah.
So what was the question?
You're fucked. So I mean, when you started producing in earnest, was that the sound you were going for, or did it just kind of come to you?
No, I wanted it to be like based off of 80s horror. You know, 80s horror is fucking John Carpenter.
Yeah, let's be honest. I mean, let's be real about it.
There's a lot of other shit, but as far as musically, that's it. Like, I think Nightmare on Elm Street has a pretty solid theme.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
But it's still synthesizer. And yeah, it was like, you know, I'd heard, you know, I knew Perturbator. I knew he was doing what he was doing. And I was like, you know, put up against the rest of the synthwave scene. I was like, I could kind of feel that more than anything. So it was like, I liked, you know, I liked Kavinsky, not to be fucking cliche or whatever, but I liked him like in 2004, 2005, way before he was
Nightcall
included into this shit. Before that, like,
yeah, that's when what he I mean, was before like, Nightcall.
Yeah, when he was doing like DJ sets and shit. You know,
see, I'm not even familiar with how far back his career goes.
It goes, man, I want to say like 2004, 2002.
That's when I graduated high school, it was in 2004, yeah. So that's like way back.
Well, I mean, it was like through Mr. Oizo and all that shit, like the whole synth, the whole French fucking group of people, like Daft Punk,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Oizo, Sebastian, and then Justice came in later.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, Kavinsky was doing it, this 80s influenced shit, for quite a while. Mm-hmm. And you know, I found him on the internet because it was like, I was bored as shit all the time, just searching the internet. And then the Valerie Collective, which is like College and Minotaur Rose and the Outrunners, all that kind of came together naturally, but they were completely separate. So, yeah, I mean, I think all that kind of tied together. I'd been listening to those people for years, heard Perturbator, you know, found Carpenter Brute randomly on fucking Bandcamp.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trying to produce electronic music for about 4 years before I did anything that I released as Ghost. So all of that just kind of came together, and it was like,
just this coalescence of things.
Yeah, that's good.
Because I would say that the watershed moment for me was when I saw Drive, and it was for a lot of people.
That's a great movie.
Like, they really connected to that. They heard Kavinsky's Night Call on there for the first time, and just kind of go from there.
Yeah,
totally. To me, that's kind of, like I said, the watershed moment. But to me, I think you can put one of your tracks, one of Carpenter Brute's tracks, and one of Perturbator's tracks, play them separately, back to back. While they all share a same root, they're all very different.
I agree.
And I think that's what's really cool, because a lot of people say to me, it was like, well, doesn't it all start to sound the same at a certain point? And I'm like, absolutely not.
I don't think I sound anything like Perturbator.
I don't think you do either.
I mean,
like, I don't think you sound nothing like fucking Carpenter Brute. So,
touche. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's
while you're,
but there are the comments that everybody, yeah, there are people that do say it's like, oh, it's all the same. And it's like, you know, I released the last record had what was the fucking song, the first single, Maleficarum.
Yeah,
people are like, oh, it sounds like Roller Mobster, and I was like,
no, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
And the funny thing is,
Roller Mobster is one of my favorite Carpenter Brute tracks.
It's a great track. And actually, he said,
I've listened to Maleficarum several times. Sounds nothing alike.
You know, when he wrote that track, he said it was just like a fuck you to synthwave. Like, he wasn't even trying, apparently.
Yeah.
When he wrote that track. It's hilarious. Like, ends up being one of the best tracks. But
yeah.
How fucking French.
Yeah.
And they are very French. French are so fucking French.
Yeah.
They're all Isaacs.
I don't hate on them for it. They're just fucking French. That's what I say. You're fucking French. What are you going to do?
You know, sometimes I think when you start looking into more niche genres, people will start, like with synthwave, for instance, they'll hear the types of sounds that are being used and then start to kind of equate things to sounding the same as opposed to really like the arrangements and like what's happening. Like when I'm listening to your stuff, I can tell that like you listen to metal music. Like that bass line has got that metal.
One website called Behemoth the most metal non-metal album of the year.
Yeah.
I can't remember who it was.
I think it was Metal Sucks.
Yeah, I think it was Metal Sucks.
This is hilarious. I wanted when I was playing actual metal, I wanted to be on that website so bad. Then I write a dance album and I'm like, yeah. Fuck yeah, this is metal.
Where have you been? I'm like, here, fucker.
I just couldn't play guitar.
Oh, this is fun. Shit. What else? What do you think's next? Like, what do you think's next for the synthwave movement? Do you think it's going to break into the mainstream, or do you think it's going to, like, I won't say stagnate, but kind of hover comfortably where it is?
I think that, like, the more quintessential synthwave sound that you know, really fucking, I don't want to throw my bro under the bus, but, like, fucking Miami Nights, Laserhawk, good friends of mine, but I think the sound that came off of that will die.
Yeah.
Because there's so many people doing it.
Yeah.
But I mean,
but
Skull and Shark is a huge departure from Redline.
It is, but have you heard the new one?
I haven't heard the new one yet.
It's getting back more into, like, the, you know, what people really call synthwave. Because I don't feel like, no one really refers to Carpenter Brute, me, or Perturbator as synthwave other than, like, journalists. Like,
It's just easy to say that. Like, I was talking to somebody earlier today, and they were like, oh, I've never heard of Ghost. And I was like, I say it's 80s inspired, dark 80s inspired synth music that you can dance to. That's what I say.
Yeah,
I mean, more typically, I would equate the Redline sound from Laserhawk as synthwave. A lot of people call it Outrun. I'm like, that's.
Yeah, well, they fucking made that. The Miami Knights made that fucking shit up.
Yeah, well, that's the default synthwave subreddit. Now.
Yeah,
Outrun's a fucking video game.
But I can only speak for like what I've heard from my friends and what I'm doing. We're all kind of gonna slightly leave that shit behind.
Okay,
it's still gonna be 80s influence.
I think that makes sense. It seems logical because like a lot of what was cool about that stuff was that 80s resurgence and more like the art of it was really in the idea. And once more people start getting that kind of stuff, it's not super difficult to produce, you know, which I think is part of the allure of it in the first place, but then being able to move on from that and start really, like, putting your fingerprint on stuff is...
Definitely, I think that's just that, like, we already kind of changed the whole sound of it, and for some reason still looped into it, but, you know, I've heard James's new shit, Perturbator's new stuff, and I can tell you right now, my new stuff is, like, you're gonna hear the metal influence big fucking time.
Yeah.
There's blast beats, there's black metal parts. It's totally like a merging of all the influences I've ever had. So
that's awesome. we can expect to maybe hear some of that.
Hopefully by June.
By June? That's a pretty good time.
I mean, I'm already like 9 tracks into it, so.
Hell yeah, are you producing on the road as much as you can?
No, I don't produce on the road.
No.
I don't blame you.
I don't blame you.
That's a nightmare.
Drink.
I don't know how some of these bands go out on tour. But of course,
I think they have a tour bus.
I was about to say, they have a tour bus.
Yeah, there's also those guys, I mean, you assume that musicians are extroverts because of the nature of what they do, but there's always those guys that have their laptop and the headphones and are really doing...
Yeah, I would say most artists are definitely not extroverts.
Back when Girl Talk was a thing, I watched a documentary on him, and he is definitely not an extrovert. Unless he's
I don't know. I haven't met anybody personally that is.
Yeah.
I mean... You know.
Especially now with what you guys are doing, because it's unlike a traditional band experience where you have to deal with people. You know, it's a lot of just like staring at your computer and doing the work. You know,
well, I don't use a computer anymore.
Oh, really?
That shit's for faggots.
You were right, Chris. These motherfuckers start on time.
Yeah, dude,
they start hard right at 9.
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to go until 11, so that's gonna be awkward.
They do that sometimes too. They'll take these just weird. I don't know, man. It's a weird place. I've seen it start early here.
Yeah, well, it is Wednesday.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Any other...
So you're not recording on a computer, or are you doing it? With hardware?
I'm mainly in the box when I'm producing.
Okay.
I do use like an external keyboard when I do like solo or something.
Yeah.
For the most part, it's a shitload of time.
Yeah.
In the box.
Okay.
Coming up with all those bass lines and then working that EQ, there's a lot of shit just fucking staring at my computer screen.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on modular synth going that way? Would that ever be an avenue for you?
It would be an avenue if I had access to like a fucking Moog fucking modular. Something that was like massive, something that I could spin.
Get in touch with Deadmau5. Because he has a fucking room.
Yeah, well, actually, he fucking emailed me the other day, and he was like, "Man, this is great. Yeah, I love your shit." And I was like, "No."
I was about to say Joel's never been that nice to anybody. But yeah, I'm an old school. Like, one of my favorite albums of all time is the Crystal Method Vegas.
Like, God, man, Crystal Method Vegas is awesome.
Yeah,
that got me into electronic music, and then I found out about New Order. And I went into the Dust Brothers and the Chemical Brothers and Fatboy Slim.
Yeah.
I just got hooked on
it. Oh, the 90s, man. The 90s were a good time for electronics.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So many movies actually used that shit.
Yeah.
Like, yep.
I will say, it's weird. No one really mentions it, but the 90s were cool as far as, like, some of the movies kind of sucked, but instead of using go-to orchestral shit, which everybody's doing again.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, don't get me wrong.
It is
nice.
Beautiful, of course. I love classical music, and I love when it's done really well, but...
It's also easy to not do it well.
It's easy to not do well, and
yeah, looking at you, Rogue One. Sorry, man.
I haven't seen Rogue One yet.
When you go see it, just keep in mind that the original composer for that had to drop out because of scheduling, and Michael Giacchino had to jump in and score
like
the movie
last minute.
Yeah.
It's a
Star Wars movie that's
fuck
not
that.
Done
he
by
was
3 John
weeks for, until picture lock.
Yeah.
3 weeks.
Yeah, so it's the weakest part of the movie. But
I heard the movie's good though.
It's real good.
As a bleeding heart, like, I have BB-8 tattooed on me. As a bleeding heart fucking Star Wars fan.
It's definitely my favorite outside of the originals.
That's what I've heard. I've heard actually it's pretty fucking bad.
Pretty on par.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
Because I liked the new one that Disney did before.
Yeah,
this.
If you like that, you're gonna like Rogue One because it's Rogue One is like they did like Force Awakens. They're trying to talk to the kids still, and they're
it's
trying to
saga.
Get like
it's a saga film.
New
it's got
people
that
into it and stuff. But then Rogue One was made for the people that already like Star Wars. Like, it wasn't made to get new people in. It wasn't made to sell kids toys.
It's a straight up war movie.
Oh, fucking
yeah.
Up. Yeah, like,
yeah.
It's...
In, like, a very much, like,
Vietnam
War style.
Yeah.
It's really dope.
We are that's... fucking nerdy as shit.
Yeah.
Our tagline is, what's your nerd?
Oh, right.
We like to talk to nerds of any ilk. It doesn't matter. You're a comic book nerd, you're a music nerd, blah, 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 blah. You like fantasy football. We'll fucking sit down and have an interview with you and turn you and make you realize that you're a fucking nerd.
Yeah. So how did you get more involved with the community? Did you just, like, start playing shows? Or was that something that was... You're able to do
it. Actually, like, Perturbator hit me up, like, maybe first or second EP, and he was like, I like what you're doing, Stay Dark, whatever.
Yeah.
And it was before I knew him, and I was
so
like,
you were,
oh, shit. Yeah, that's crazy.
Perturbator fucking messaged me!
Right. And,
that's how I felt when you messaged me back.
Actually, like, I've never really felt,
super
very
connected
to the fucking community.
Okay.
I get a lot of hate from, like, actual synthwave fans. So.
Oh, really? That makes sense.
Because it's not 80s enough.
Suck my dick.
Yeah, but it's a fucking thing, man. People are fucking so hung up on recreating some shit that...
And that's why going back to what you were talking about earlier, about just switching the style up, still keeping it very 80s inspired, because that nostalgic patina is going to wear off.
Of course, yeah.
Always does.
Yeah, eventually people are going to be like, cool fucking niche, cool fucking stupid
and
ass.
And not even 10 years ago, everybody was talking about how dumb 80s music was.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like, oh, it's 80s music, it's cool, because, like, nobody likes 80s music, you know?
Like, I'm fully expecting, like, some girls from Chapel Thrill to, like, hear about an 80s dance night and then show up to the show.
Man, I hope girls show up tonight, that'd be great.
Fucking amazing.
Girls don't come. come. It's just dudes in leather jackets still. It's a fucking joke.
I mean, I'm wearing cutoffs and Nike Air Maxes.
Yeah, you don't count.
No, I don't count.
You guys don't count. You obviously fucking like what's happening. So.
Yeah.
But I mean, dude, so I thought I was leaving the metal community behind.
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
I just followed you.
They fucking beers and their leather jackets.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anytime you silkscreen a shirt with one color, there's him right there.
Good point. As long as it's black on white on
white
black.
On black.
It's the only colors.
Blow the flag! I don't even know what that means.
I don't even know what you just said.
I said fly the flag.
Oh yeah, fuck yeah.
So, how many dates left on the tour? You got Virginia tomorrow night.
Virginia, New York. And then have a couple weeks off, and then I do South by. I do like 3 shows at South by Southwest.
Okay, that'd be fun.
And I think Perturbator, Carpenter Brute, Magic Sword, Dance with the Dead. I think everybody's going to be on this one show.
Fuck!
That's going to be nuts.
And then actually, tentatively, I don't know. You guys can go ahead and fucking, you know, like run it. There is supposedly hanging on like my like there's a Synthwave tour that's gonna be me, Dance with the Dead, Magic Sword, Lematos, Computer Love, Computer Magic, I don't remember the name of it, but all of us, like a fucking full US tour. So
yeah,
that's fucking rad.
Yeah,
so hopefully that works out, because that'd be fucking crazy.
That'd be fucking
nuts. Play some bigger venues, get some people out.
Yeah, I need to hydrate the entire time, because I'd be going fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I'm like, Chris can tell you, I'm very high energy at concerts. I love being there. I'm always the one.
That's gonna be awkward when you're like, you guys are the only two people.
Yeah, that's true. Are you familiar with the band Guttermouth?
Yeah.
Okay. So the last concert that Chris and I went to, just the two of us, we ended up getting free tickets to go see Guttermouth at a local venue that's now closed. Bless their hearts. They put Guttermouth in the big room.
Okay.
So the booker gave me a stack of 35 tickets. He was like, please hand these out. I think we got there and there was
16 people.
15 people.
That's probably what we're looking at tonight.
No. I already saw more than that.
I think I saw like 8 people.
They were also playing in a room that was about 12 times the size of this.
Dude, I heard tonight, I heard the capacity here was 500. That's what was on my itinerary. And
really?
I was like, this is gonna suck so bad. I was expecting like a theater.
Yeah.
There's no way you're gonna cram 500 people in here. That's a white.
That's a good room. I've been to some small shows here, and it's intimate enough. There's always good energy, even if it's not super packed out.
Right on.
Yeah.
I think you're also misunderstanding that North Carolina likes to be cool late.
That's what we actually went to the arcade down the street.
Yeah.
And the guy was like,
oh,
I was like, where the fuck is everyone?
It's not 11 o'clock
and
yet.
And they were like, oh man, no one comes out here until like fucking 10:30, 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, cool.
That's North Carolina.
Fucking college, whatever.
We shut that bar down last Oak City, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
we got,
that's a cool place.
We got shooed out of there. Like, we just got
shooed?
Yeah. We were hanging out drinking after the con.
Making sure we were at our feet.
Schmoozing, you know, doing our thing. And then 2:30 rolls around, and I'm like, fuck, we gotta get back to the hotel.
It's like, I got 10 tokens still. We're not leaving.
We're not leaving. We got 4 men left on Dick Duck. Suck it.
Dick Duck actually fucking sucks.
I love
it's
Dick
a good game, but it kind of sucks.
It's fucking infuriating. It is fucking infuriating.
All the great old arcade games are infuriating as shit.
Yeah.
I was like,
that's
took
what's
a
good
picture
about
of
them.
Tron, and then like 15 minutes later, I was like, hitting the goddamn console, and they're like, settle the fuck down. I was like, have you played this?
Oh god.
That's like the Flappy Bird thing, right? You play Flappy Bird the phone game?
I've been playing I've been playing Crossy Road.
Yeah.
Crossy Road, what the fuck?
It's Frogger.
It's Frogger. It's an endless Frogger.
Endless? Ah, fuck.
But see, that's the thing, right? It's like sky's the limit. You can get whatever score you want.
That's bullshit.
But you can't get 2 points.
That's bullshit. I need rewards.
Like, you get coins.
Something instant. Like, I need, like, hey, you just passed level 3. You're okay.
Yeah. I know that the logs and the trucks are the same things, but they look different. Damn it.
Yeah, when I played it, I was like, oh, it's just fucking Frogger. And then it took too long, and the screen caught up with me, and then it drew a chicken. that if you sit too long in one spot, a fucking eagle will come through and scoop you up.
That's gay as fuck.
It's, yeah, but it's also kind of brutal. Like, sit there for too long, a fucking hawk comes through.
More than
kind of
brutal, it's fucking, it's real life.
That's how shit happens.
All right, guys, I gotta smoke like 9 cigarettes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. We'll wrap it up and we'll partake with you if that's okay.
Yeah, of course.
All right, well, signing off for Name Redacted Podcast, I am Colin Norris.
I'm Chris Nielsen.
Thank you so much again. Thank you. We really appreciate it. And as always, go out and touch some butts.